Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as I was saying in the introduction to the service, when we come to the end of the church year, we start thinking about the end times, the end of this whole world when Christ will come again. We think about the last things, the end of the church year, the end of our lives, the end of the whole world. And at the beginning of our gospel reading, we come to the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And from the mindset of the people that were following him, that great crowd that was following after him, and the women that were mourning because Jesus was picking up his cross and trudging to the place where he would be crucified, they really did think that was the end of everything. That was the end of the whole story. Since it was the end of Jesus' earthly life, that was the end of everything. So they mourned. They wept for him. But what did Jesus say when he turned to those women? He said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Do not weep for Jesus, because though he is going to die, this is not the end for him. He will rise from the dead 3 days later. He will crush death under his feet. He will reign victorious, though he is marching to his death at this point. So do not weep for him. He said, weep for yourselves, for the things that you are going to have to endure in this life. Namely, he's talking about when the temple was destroyed and when Jerusalem was sacked in 70 AD, years after Jesus ascended into heaven. But he's talking about more than that too. All of the hardships that Christians will go through in this life, all the persecutions that Christians will go through in this life, all the effects of sin that we will feel in this life. Do not weep for Jesus. Weep for yourselves and for your children. And in addition to all the things that we are going to experience in this life that he says to weep for, he says, weep and mourn for your sins. Weep and mourn for your sins. That is necessary for us in this life, to recognize that we are dreadfully sinful, that we are wicked and in need of condemnation. And when we recognize this, when we repent of these sins, Jesus gives us the consolation that his death won forgiveness for us. So they were weeping for Jesus, but Jesus said, "Do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your sins. Repent of your sins, and you will find life. You will find forgiveness. You will find everlasting life in heaven that no one can ever take away from you." And that's the message that our text has for us today from Luke chapter 23. That Jesus' death does not mean the end for him or for you. Jesus' death does not mean the end for him or for you, but it means life. It means forgiveness for him and for you forevermore. It is forgiveness through him and for you. When Jesus is marching to the cross, to the place of his crucifixion, we have to recognize why he's going. He is going to the place of his crucifixion. He is marching to his death because of you, and because of me, and because of our sin. This is what Jesus said in Luke 5:32, "I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners for repentance." The whole reason Jesus took on human flesh and came into this world is so that he could save sinners, so that he could call sinners to repentance, and that he could win the forgiveness of sins for us on the cross. That is the whole purpose that Jesus came to this earth. That is the whole purpose that he voluntarily marched to the place of his crucifixion. That is the whole reason why he gave up his life in death for you and for your sin and for the forgiveness of your sins. And when the reality of that hits us, we can say with St. Paul, like he says in 1 Timothy 1:15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Of whom I am the foremost. When I see Jesus on the cross, and when I see him marching with his cross to his death, not sitting there worried about anybody else's sins, I'm mourning because of my own. I'm mourning because I know that it's my sin that put him there, that made him go through this. And that might cause weeping for me, but this realization also causes repentance, to turn from our sins and then look to that man that's marching with his cross. Look to that man up on the cross and look to him and receive forgiveness from him. Jesus came into this world and he was hated. He was rejected by those he came to save. Truth itself came into this world and it was rejected by sinful men. This is exactly what St. John talks about in the first chapter of John. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. He is truth and light incarnate. He is the one through whom all things were made. And when he came into this world, how did the people receive him? By putting him up on the cross. This is the wickedness of man when it encounters the truth of God's word. That the wickedness of man rejects it and even wants to kill it, trying to put it out. But like John 1 says, we cannot put out the light of Christ. Though sinful man might try to extinguish it, we cannot. But we also recognize that when Jesus is going to the cross, this is because of my sin first and foremost. All of us are under the same condemnation. All of us are sinners. This is what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 3. No one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. And then skipping down to Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus up on the cross shows that he's there because of my sin. He's suffering because of my sin, and he's suffering for my salvation, the forgiveness of my sins. Because all have sinned, but Jesus goes to the cross to forgive sins. His death pays the penalty for our sin. Through his blood shed on the cross, we have forgiveness. When we wear the robe that is stained in his blood, we wear the robe of his righteousness that washes away our sin. Listen to what St. Paul says in Romans 3:23 through 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. And propitiation is sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus was put forward as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins to be received by faith. And this isn't something that's just new or made up by Paul. It's all the way back in the Old Testament. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 53. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So when I see Jesus on the cross, I see my sin because it's my sin that put him there. But I also see my sin being forgiven. Thanks be to God. Because that's the whole purpose of what Jesus is doing through his crucifixion. And you can tell that by all the words Jesus is saying throughout the whole time he's being crucified. While they mock him, while they beat him, while they deride him, what does he say? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you can imagine that Jesus knows what's going on. He knows he is forgiving the sins of the entire world. So you can imagine that the whole time he's going through this, what does he have in mind? He has in mind you. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive each and every one of us who will believe in Christ's name for the forgiveness of sins so that they can have life in him. That's what is at the forefront of Jesus' mind as he goes to the cross. Because through his death, he brings forgiveness and he brings life. So Jesus goes to the cross in order that we might have forgiveness and then also rises from the grave to give us eternal life. Jesus gives you the forgiveness of sins so that you will be with him in heaven forever and that you know that you will raise from the dead on the last day just like he rose from the dead. This is what Jesus says to that thief on the cross that was crucified with him. One of the thieves was deriding Jesus, saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us. What are you doing? Come on." But then what does the other thief say? He says, "Don't you fear God? We're under the same condemnation as this innocent man. And we, justly, because we did bad stuff in our life, we should be here." He didn't do anything wrong. He's innocent. He shouldn't be here. And the same could be said for each and every one of us. We deserved to be there. If we were crucified for our sins, we would have to say it was justly done, for we have done evil in our life. But not Jesus. Jesus didn't deserve that. So what does the thief on the cross say? He says, "Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." Simple words, but a profound statement of faith. He's acknowledging that Jesus is true God who is going into his kingdom. He is proclaiming that Jesus, though he might be dying on the cross here, will reign forever in heaven. Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And that's all we can ever ask of Jesus, too. In our dying moments, when there's nothing else that we can cling to, what else can you take with you at your death? When you're on your deathbed, are you going to trust in the things of this world? Are you going to trust in the things that you have? You can't take anything along with you. All you have is Jesus. All you have is the prayer of that thief on the cross. Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. And thanks be to God that Jesus does. He does remember you. Your name is engraved on his hands and feet inside, in his wounds. He remembers you. He forgives your sins, and he promises you life forevermore. And that's exactly what Jesus says to the thief on the cross. "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." He says the same to you. At the moment of your death, today, you will be with me in paradise. And the thief on the cross is a wonderful example of salvation by grace through faith. Because what could this man have done to earn his salvation? He was on the cross. He couldn't do anything. And what had he done previously in his life? Evil, wickedness. He said that he deserved to be up there because he had done wrong. So what did he have? Only faith in Christ. And he clung to Christ by faith, clung to his forgiveness, clung to his life, clung to his salvation, and that for him was everything. So the same is for us as well. We're not saved by anything we could do or even imagine we could do in this life. We're saved by clinging to Jesus in his salvation, in his forgiveness alone. That's your only hope. Nothing else is going to do in this life. Nothing you could ever gain, nothing you could ever do, that's not going to win you heaven. Only Jesus, only his life, only his forgiveness. And that's Jesus' promise, that when we cling to him in faith, he will bring us home to be with himself in heaven. What seemed to many to be the end of Jesus' life was actually just the beginning of life forevermore. It was his victory over sin, death, and the devil. He rose from the grave, promising you life forever with him. Therefore, Jesus is your hope in this life and for the life to come. Cling to him. Cling to him alone at the end of each day, at the end of your life, at the end of the whole world, cling to him. For he promises that all who believe in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.